Good evening, and welcome to the Thursday, August 1st, 2013 Harbor Advisory. Thank you.
I did. I would like to just say that the Morro Bay National Estuary Program is planning to plant 8,000 bundles of eelgrass, and they're looking for volunteers to do this, to bundle them. They're going to have shifts of people putting these together, and then divers will be planting them. So if you're interested, just go to mbnep.org and sign up, get information on that. It's a plug for eelgrass.
Thank you, Dana. Bill?
No, nothing.
And Lynn?
Nothing.
All right, and I would just like to announce that item C1, we won't be addressing tonight under unfinished business, update from Boatyard Haulout Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. We will most likely visit that next month. So we'll move on to the consent calendar. Approval of minutes from the Harbor Advisory Board meeting held on June 6, 2013. I trust you've all had a chance to read over the minutes. Are there any amendments or changes to the minutes as presented? Seeing none, I'll look for a motion to approve.
I'll move that we accept the minutes as presented.
Moved by Jim and seconded by Lynn. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That passes unanimously. And we'll move on to Section B on the agenda, public hearings. Where are we? There we go, public comment. I skipped right over our public comment period. My goodness, and we've got some folks out in the galley there as well. I apologize for that. We will now move on to public comment period.
Okay.
So please keep your comments limited to 3 minutes, and thank you for being here tonight.
Okay.
And please state your name and residence as well,
okay.
Please.
Yeah, I'm. My name is Kerry Hickson. It's really Gary Hickson. It's Kerry Hickson now. I live at 761 Butte Avenue, Apartment 5. I think you guys are doing a good job with the harbor and the meetings and the developments that you're coming up with. And I'm doing a TV show called the Power Rangers. It's like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And we are concerned about the environment and the harbor and the bay. And I'm trying to get the show shot with people like Drew Barrymore and Keanu Reeves. And you'll see me going around town with a pink helmet on. And I do look like one of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I've got Randy Allen coming out to do. We're going to show Mirror Vision, which is the mirrors on the TVs. And I'm trying to get on Channel 2. And I do want to try to help you guys once I make it to NBC, because I know I'll make it. And the town's looking better. And Pismo Beach has a lot of police problems with the tourism. I guess I'm standing a little too close. I guess everybody's kind of taking a break from these meetings. We don't have another city council meeting for a while, but I'm going to the slow city council. And I'm interested in government and would like to be president someday, or at least of California. And the Monterey Bay Aquarium is doing really well. There's been more complaints about, you know, the one down here. And it's really not a complaint. It's just, I think they're going to rebuild it. I'm not sure. But I think it's okay the way it is with the seals down there, but they might rebuild it. And the library needs about $150,000 more to finish the children's library. They're redoing Burger King, too. They redid McDonald's, and it looks kind of different, but they needed to with all the traffic that we're getting. But I just wanted to say that, you know, I love everybody. I'm doing well. They got me off my Vicodin from my back, and that's a big problem in this country. And I guess I'll close with that. And that's it. Just go on with your meeting, and thanks.
Thank you for your comments.
All right.
Anyone else?
Good evening. My name is Bob Fowler. Gene had asked me to come here actually a couple times to talk to you about the old Burgess Landing leasehold that I purchased, and kind of bring you up to speed on where we're at. So if I could have a few minutes, I'll put this up on the screen. We We finally got through all the Coastal Commission approvals. Army Corps gave us their approval in June, and I'm in the final throes with the city and pulling a building permit for our first phase, the docks out there. Just to orient you a little bit, if you're looking at this plan, over on the right is the Great American Fish Company, sort of in the middle. Oh, thank you. In the middle there, this is Harbor Hut, and this is what is now the Morro Bay Landing. It's showing the future footprint of the building on there right now. Bay Landing in half of the old Verges building. Just got it going. We've got our inventory, last of our inventory coming in now. We're in the midst of negotiating to purchase a sport fishing boat in conjunction with Patriot out of Avila. And if that all goes well, hopefully we'll be have a party boat operating, at least one party boat operating out of here before the end of the season. I'm not sure what. Oh, the second phase, the way that the amendment was done with the on the lease when I purchased the property, the second phase of the docks, this portion over here, was to have been done no later than 2019, assuming that our docks get leased out and we do well financially on the first part of it. I hope to have them going next year. That's our plan, and I'm happy to answer any questions that I can for you. Yes, sir.
How many docks are you planning? Can you give me a number?
I'll count them. I'll count them for you. We have one, two, three, four. Let's see, one, two, three, four, five, six, and then we have this long finger on this end. We plan on putting. Oh, I meant to mention that we just finished building a bait receiver dock. I have it sitting at the bottom of our wharf area here right now, but our plan is to, once the docks are done, is to move it out to the deep water right in that area. We've made a deal with Matt, the Malibu Matt, the bait guy out of Avila. Wade Gavin bought that that business late last year, and he's been making bait now out at out in Avila, and he wants to base himself out of here, and in exchange to put live bait back into Morro Bay. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Mr. Fowler? I have one. The existing businesses that are there,
yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Fowler, are there any expectations on how they may be affected with the changes?
The existing businesses in the Verges Landing building there?
Correct.
I think it's going to enhance it. It's going to give us the opportunity to park some sport fishing boats out there, as well as other commercial boats. So
the I know the kayak concessionaire is mm-hmm. there, as well as I think one of the tour boats.
Right.
So are they expected to stay throughout this?
Yes. Morro Bay Landing. Well, first of all, the kayaks are operated out of the kayak dealership on the other side, the stand-up paddleboard. He's been in there since last December. Morro Bay Landing, though, is intended to be a full-service landing. We're not planning on owning any sport fishing boats. We want to contract with operators to operate the boats out of there and provide them the land-based services for sport fishing landing, as well as other tours and so forth, such as Captain Stew's, and we're also doing some Zodiac tours, and we've just contracted with Red Anchor, the sailboat tour business.
Thank you. Lynn?
Just to repeat the question. How many slips will you ultimately have?
Oh, ultimately. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and
two
then 11 on the other side.
Okay.
So it's just, I think there's about 22 of them. And, four of them on the second phase will be operated by the Harbor Hut in order to make the whole leasehold work out there and to actually rearrange the slips so that they were more functional and running with the current as opposed to the current. We made a deal with Troy there to give him a portion of that, or to move his leasehold area over a little bit in order to make the whole thing function better. So I think we'll come up with a really good plan.
Good.
Any other questions?
I have a question. The Papagayo and the Chablis, are they going to stay there too?
Well, once we get to, they'll stay there as long as, until we get to the second phase, and then we'll have to relocate them somewhere within that, within the water, within our leasehold there, where they will, they'll be able to operate. Papagayo right now probably can't operate out of where he's at there once that, that's done, so he's likely to end up over on this longer finger over here. That's speculative at the moment.
It's going to be a tough landing on a flooding tide with that. All right. Thank you, Mr. Fowler. We appreciate you coming in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for public comment? I would recognize that out in the audience, we have our city council liaison, which is Mayor Jamie Irons. So, Mayor Irons, thank you for being here tonight. We will move on to public, and we'll close the public comment period, and we'll move on to public hearings, reports, and appearances. So that is Section B on our agenda, and we'll start off with our Harbor Department status report, none other than our esteemed Harbor Director, Eric.
When we did this recruitment, he'd been in the capacity for about a year and a half. He worked previously for us many years ago under Jim Kroll as a lifeguard quite a while ago. I'll let Jeremiah fill in the real details. He'd since worked at Santa Barbara Harbor Patrol as a crew member there, worked at Port San Luis as a lifeguard, and I think worked on their boats as well. And then most recently his full-time job was at Trader Joe's in San Luis, so he was there shucking bags and goods back and forth. So I'll let Jeremiah say what he wants to say. He's been a great addition. He's well-known within our ranks. He's been with us quite a while, both previously when he's a lifeguard and now when he's been with us as a part-timer, and I'm happy to report that he rose above to the top of the ranks there and he filled the position.
Yeah, I don't really know what else to add to that. you pretty much covered it all.
So when you see Jeremiah out there on the water, great guy, great boat handler, good guy all around, so won't embarrass him anymore.
All right.
Welcome aboard.
Behalf of the board, welcome, and we're glad to have you out there.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm looking forward to being here.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
A little short notice for you to make a speech, sorry.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jeremiah, for coming up. Our new patrol boat under construction down at the Radden Boat Yard in Santa Barbara. I went down there with our Dana Stein on Monday, Tuesday? I think it was Monday. Did a progress check. We're going down there about once a week. While the main part of fiberglassing and construction is going on, just because there's always questions to be answered and layout and whatnot. So we went down last week. We're going down again next Tuesday. Should be the end of the fiberglassing, and it should move out of the what they call the dusty side of the yard over onto the clean side. So it'll get a final gel coat on all the fiberglass work, and then engines and equipment and everything starts going in. We do have a September 30th deadline from Department of Boating Waterways, one of our grantors for that project. To have the boat in the water and delivered. It's going to be tight, but our boat builder, Don Radden, is confident he's still going to get there. So far, knock on wood, no hiccups, no real surprises. Everything's gone real smooth. The boat's looking great. It's been a real pleasure to work with him and kind of custom build as you go, being able to get down there every week. A little bit everybody from our crew has headed down over the last couple of months and had their say in where things should go and how things are laid out. So it's going to be a good boat. Expensive, but good. So that's all going very well. New patrol trucks. One of our trucks we had in the 2012-2013 budget year, we got one truck approved for purchase, and then the 13-14 year, another truck approved for purchase through City Council. One was ordered. It's still on order. Hopefully it's going to come in the next couple of weeks. It's kind of in an ongoing saga that's not quite ready yet from the dealership, but another one we ordered from a different dealership, turned it around pretty quick. We've got it here in service. We're getting ready to start putting gear on it. We're changing our graphic scheme a little bit. Not quite exactly sure where it's going to go yet, but kind of getting away from the standard city seal and just Harbor Patrol and make it a little more prominent. Partly because when we head down the waterfront, if it's a code 3, even with lights and sirens on, with a flashing red light and a siren, people just see a white pickup truck with no real graphics on it. It's hard to tell what it is. So one of the reasons we're doing that, and the second is just a little bit of a change of our look. Recent events, June 28th, we were invited to participate in the police department's Tip-A-Cop fundraiser. It was at the community center. Those are proceeds go to Slow Special Olympics. Tim Cowan, one of my reserve officers, and myself attended that. There were members from the fire department and members from our department as well. Former police chief Olivas came as well from the sheriff's department. I think there was a couple other sheriff's deputies. So a new police chief, Amy Christie, invited other agencies in as well to help out. And it was a great event. Had a lot of fun with it. June 29th, we had some search and rescue dogs from California OES's K-9 group come in. These are the dogs that search for missing persons and bodies and whatnot. They're not the angry dogs. They're the happy dogs. So they came in to do some familiarization on boats and around piers and docks and whatnot. So we did a good day of practice with them on and around our vessels. July 4th, as you know, is the birthday of our nation. Great event, although it turned out to be a little foggy, looking like it was going to clear out, but it never quite did. It was one of those almost days. Much the same way up in Cayucas. Pretty much fireworks went up into the clouds and you didn't see a lot. But still a great event down at Tidelands Park, a lot of people. Big numbers down there, and all in all, it was a pretty fun event. July 13th, the 44th annual Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run, and then the second annual Rock Around the Pier Half Marathon. Second year in a row now, they've created an event within the event where folks that want to go all the way to the pier and back, and it's about a half marathon. A marathon's what, 26 miles or 20 some odd miles? So it's roughly a half marathon on the way back. 1,370 participants. It's getting bigger and bigger every year. Those friends, a lot of kids get in the water, and these really haven't been in the ocean before, so it's a great program. Herb White, working for Recreation Parks Department, came from State Parks. He was Ranger Herb out of Montana de Oro for almost 10 years. Still running the program and doing a darn good job at it, so we're happy to still have him around. I might as well plug my lifeguard supervisor, Kyle Schaefer, while I'm at it. That program's going great. Been a good summer so far. Busy, but pretty quiet for the most part. Again, knock on wood. Rescue incidents. It's been a busy summer, and not necessarily a good summer in that regard. On July 20th, we responded down Montana de Oro for a missing Cal Poly student that went swimming with a few friends, dove off of the rocks, and pretty much just disappeared. All the rescue agencies were called down, us, the Coast Guard, Morro Bay Fire went along with us. Cal Fire, State Parks, lifeguards, a lot of people covering the water. Unfortunately, he was not found that day and ended up being found about a week later, washed up in the cove area there. Never heard the result of any autopsy, but so I don't know whether it was drowning or something else, but that was an unfortunate event. June 23rd, the weekend, or a couple days after, very foggy day, good salmon bite going on, rockfish open. We had couple fellas go out on a little aluminum boat and didn't have a lot of navigation equipment, and I think we're navigating by sight, and unfortunately navigating by sight meant they were awfully close to the beach and they got hit by a couple waves south of the south jetty. Boat was flipped over. One person was pretty badly injured, not doing very well, and I think his nephew worked his way into the beach and made it his way down to the sandspit phone, the emergency sandspit phone, and put a call in. Our folks got out there pretty darn quickly. Jeremiah, oh, I can't plug him now. He was one of the first on scene with our jet ski when they found him. Found the victim, unfortunately, face down in the water. Got him to care pretty quickly. Had Morro Bay Fire on board as well. Brought him out to a Coast Guard boat and zipped him into the harbor as quick as we could to advance care. But unfortunately, he didn't make it. So it's been kind of a sad summer in that regard. We towed the boat off the beach later in the day. Fortunately, we were able to get in close enough to swim a line in and get it pulled off the beach. And then another boat, not too much later, July 14th, we had a call, emergency call for a vessel on the rocks, again down at Spooner's Cove. Seems to be the Spooner's Triangle down there, maybe. Recreational fishing boat, five persons on board. Engine broke down or batteries wouldn't start it, something of that nature. Ended up washing onto the rocks. Fortunately, it was a fairly windy day, but it was a little calmer down there. Surf wasn't very big, and the boat just kind of worked its way into a little deep hole fairly near the rocks that was somewhat protected from the surf, and again, all the agencies on the list responded. We got down there, we put a lifeguard and a fireman in the water off of the jet ski. They swam in, and with help from Cal Fire and State Parks personnel from shore, got everybody off the boat, pretty much able to hand them off and help them off onto the rocks. One was a paraplegic, and due to the fairly remote area, they ended up bringing a Cal Fire helicopter to airlift him out. Nobody injured, fortunately. We went in and were able to get a tow line in again, able to float a fairly light floating but robust tow line in, and just, you know, between skill and luck and serendipity, the boat came out of the little slot it was in, and we towed it out without any damage and got it back on the trailer. So that one fortunately turned out good, and that's the way we like to see them. And finally, not on the report, but recent news, we're conducting our annual or semi-annual or biannual surplus gear and found skiff auction on August 18th, so the 18th of this month at noon, out at our yard at the end of the dirt extension of Embarcadero. So fair number of found items, interesting, you know, leftover stuff from derelict boats and skiffs and whatnot. So come one, come all, and hopefully we'll be doing a little more advertising with that in the future as well. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Eric. Questions? We'll start down here.
Regarding the new patrol boat, you seem to emphasize the importance of the end of September as the deadline. What's the consequences if it doesn't get ready until October 1st?
I'd rather not suffer those consequences.
But is it a consequence to the boat builder? Or
no, it's a grant deadline. It's a Department of Boating and Waterways grant. They give us an $80,000 boating safety and enforcement grant. And it has a September 30 deadline for having it delivered. I don't want to go there, and I don't want to have to ask, but I can probably get an extension if I need to, but don't want to go there unless I have to. So we're pushing our boat builder as fast as we can.
Thank you.
On a clarification on Spooner's Cove, which is in Montana de Oro, how do you, when you respond, do you get there? Do you get there on land, or do you get there by water, just for my clarification?
Most often, 9 times out of 10, we're going by water. It's with Cal Fire now taking a bigger role down there on water rescue, and all fire departments, really. It's the September 30th is in the water, signed off, ready to go, past sea trials. And they'll obviously be doing some in the shop testing, you know, running up of engines and making sure systems work, and, you know, with hoses hooked to them for cooling and whatnot. So assuming once it actually hits the water for sea trials, you're pretty safe to assume that most of the bugs are worked out at that point.
Any other questions, comments regarding the Harbor Director's report? All right, thank you. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is item B2. The review of harbor lease sites with construction or other lease site activity currently underway. Eric.
Quite the mouthful. Thank you again. I'll probably end up standing at the podium because we, I believe Member Phillips wished to have a some sort of a map or an overhead showing what they are. We don't have a good, you know, like a Google Images map or a real-time overhead map of our lease sites, but we do have our, our standard lease survey that outlines the lease sites. And unfortunately, I can't read it far enough away from here to see the numbers. The numbers are a little bit on the faded side, too, so I'll probably going to work off the podium, point at the lease site, and then go back to the podium if that works for you. Probably still have to stand there and point at. My wife may be correct. I think I do need glasses. So these are our traditional report that we do that kind of gives you the where we are with a number of leases that are under construction, in negotiation, going out for requests for proposals, just kind of things, plates that are spinning, I like to say. So the first one up, and I'm just working from numerically from low to high. For whatever reason, when those leases were delineated back in the 50s, they started in the south and worked in the north. I would have done the other way, but that's just me. So lease site 30W through 33W, that's Bayfront Marina. Jay Coakley, that's the old fuel dock down at the very south end. So you can see 30W through 33W, various width. Those lines, so you can see they kind of line up with the property lines up above. I believe that was by design back in the day when they designed these. But those are water-only leases for the most part. Where the 33W has that little rise there, that little hump, it actually does go onto land. We recently had Robert Reese, a land and water surveyor, survey from the south end to basically the boat launch ramp to really find out where our lease lines are, because it's these are pretty old leases, and I had him do a real-time survey with under modern conditions with modern equipment and overlay it over a flight. Was shot in June, middle of June, an aerial shot. So we've got our actual lease lines overlaid on real-time what the world looks like now. So it's pretty interesting seeing what it is and what they're overlaid on. Those leases are all variously up over the next 5 years. 30 through 33W is up at the end of this year. 34W, I believe, is 2016. I don't have my information right in front of me, but it's either 2016 or 2018. And then 37W, the boatyard, it's either 16 or 18. I believe it's 18. I think 34W is 2016. So at the May 28th City Council meeting, we posed the question to the City Council, since they're all kind of within a five-year window, is there any interest with the council to combine them in any way, shape, or form under one management body or one management person or upland owner, or does the city want to take them all over and look for an alternative easement into them for access, or do we want to just operate with the existing upland landowners? And council direction was to work with the existing upland landowners. A little bit of an exception on 34W, Mr. Kreiser's lease site, he does not own the upland land. The upland land is now owned by Bill Martini, who owns the old cannery property there as well. And there's a bit of a, I won't say a dispute, but a disagreement over where the parking across the street that parked that lease site belongs to. So we're sorting that out before we really move forward on that. So we're working with Mr. Coakley and his wife, Merlene, and working out some projects. They wish to renew their lease or get a new lease. Hey, Gene. For a number of years, so we're working out negotiating with them. 34W, the next one up, Mr. Kreiser, again, he's kind of on hold, and we're waiting to see how the parking thing plays out. And then 35, 36, if you can see that. Oh, there, my wonderful assistant. That's the old cannery property. Empty there now. As you know, we removed the wharf there a couple of years ago. The upland by Reg is Associated Pacific Constructors. He retired from that company, boy, 6-7 years ago now. Sold to a fellow that's now still operating the main building there in the dock, Paul Gillen. And then Reg has still got the two smaller rentals and then his personal house right next door there. The activity on that was the lease expiration on that was 2 years offset from the Associated Pacific lease, and Reg wanted to line it up with the Associated Pacific lease expiration just at the likelihood that at some point he's going to give that lease up, or maybe he wants to sell it to Paul Gillen, but just to line them up so that they're able to stay together in terms of negotiation into the future. And to get those 2 years, he initially had proposed to put in a sprinkler system underneath the dock. When he sprinklered underneath Associated Pacific in the main building, he had stubbed it out to eventually do that and move south with the rest of the sprinklers. But unfortunately, in the 10 or 12 years since that was put in, he came in and redid the had a fire engineer come in and redo the calculations, and codes had changed such that the feeder line he had coming in stubbed off ready to go would no longer meet code. So it was going to be a hugely expensive project for him to back out of that one and redo that system or put in a whole new system. So he sprinkled the buildings there just inside instead. So that got him a couple more years to line those leases up. Questions? Nope. A1-3 mooring area, more of a yacht club. I have a couple of yacht club. Danny, you got a question? Oh, you want to move down? Okay. On that, just the very right end of that, that's 51, that's Reg Whibley there. So the first three boxes on the right, that's Reg Whibley and his lease sites, and then the last one on the left there is Associated Pacific, just for reference. So the Morbay Yacht Club is underneath that number 7 there, 7 and 8, I believe. So they've got a block of 25 moorings off of the club. That lease site was up this July, and their regular lease, they've got two leases, one for the mooring site and then one for their land and water. The mooring lease was up this July. We negotiated, I guess leading up to July, maybe May and June, for a new lease, and we agreed upon a 19-year lease. The previous one had been 10 years, so it would line up with the expiration of their main lease so that we could sit down at the table at one time in 2032. Is that it, Lynn? Does that sound right? Yeah, 2032, so that they would line up. So basically, pretty much for the most part, status quo on operating the moorings. Same general payment scheme on it, but the Yacht Club did agree to seek Clean Marina certification under the California Clean Marina Program. So that's something new for them that will help them get through as we go forward, which will be a good thing. Questions? Nope. 62W, that's the next one over. It'll be the one under number 8. And then 6364, that would be the next one over number 9. That's Kayak Gray's Inn. So 62 under the 8 is Kayak Horizons, and 6364 is the number 8 or the number 9 under there, and that's the Gray's Inn. The question for the council back on July 9th was, do you want to send those sites out for request for proposals, or do you want to work with the existing owners? Those are both Pipkin leases that were up. Kayak Horizons is a Pipkin lease, but Gray's Inn was a Pipkin lease. But both of them are up in 2018. Initially, late last year, Josephine Gray, who has the Gray's Inn, wasn't quite sure or was unclear on what her options were to do with it, and she initially told us she wasn't going to operate after 2018, so our initial direction from council was to send it out for request for proposals. But in the meantime, she since really learned what her options were, and her family got involved, and she wanted to continue on with the lease and look at selling it to a couple that have since that have been staying with them for a number of years. So back July 9th, City Council, we posed the question to the council, just kind of reaffirming, do we want RFP or do we want to work with the existing landowners? And council voted to work with the upland landowners there. So we'll be working with the Grays and the folks that are proposing to buy the lease site and working with their proposal and moving it forward. And then Dennis Kruger at Kayak Horizons, he's interested in continuing on as well. So they're both working up their proposals and starting to get numbers and figuring out. Here, he got a pretty good size extension on his project. Smith Held back at the Harbor Center, he moved out. Doug Redican, as he moves forward with his slips, which I'll get to shortly, he's proposing to move out. So there's room there between that 50-foot line and the channel line where there's leaseholders are able to move out. And they do sometimes propose to do that, and it gets wrapped in negotiations and will result in a higher base rent because it's based on the square footage of the land and the water. So they have more water, they'll have more rent. But there is a little bit of a space there for folks to move out, so we have done that.
I just want to make sure, because I'm working with Dennis now, and I want to make sure we're working on a correct lease site map.
Yep.
Thank you.
65W, the SALT building. That's Abba Amani. When he bought the lease several years ago, it was an older lease, entered into a new lease. Proposed, like many of the people that buy leases, they proposed a redevelopment project. Council did, however, wish that that building remained in its existing configuration. They didn't want to see necessarily a bulldozer job. It's one of Jim Mall's original projects. I think, Gene, you probably know history more than I, but it's one of Jim Mall's first projects on the waterfront. Very popular building and a bit of an iconic building, so council wanted to see it maintain the way it is. So he's working on I think some upgrades to his slips and putting the boardwalk along the backside. He's got the trash can enclosure that encroaches out on the sidewalk. That'll be moving back, so he'll be doing some good improvements there, and they should start pretty quickly. He got stalled in Coastal Commission for a while. He's on the next city council meeting on August 13th to approve an estoppel, which is basically a document between us and the bank and the owner that the leaseholder is encumbering the lease site with a loan. So that takes city council approval. So assuming that happens, he'll be moving forward with financing and getting under construction pretty soon.
I ran into him down on the waterfront today, and he's hopefully going to be moving pretty quickly. Questions on that?
Can you tell me what one of the businesses in that salt building might be? I don't recognize the
Pistachios.
Name.
Pistachios.
It's where Hofbräu used to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Originally?
Yeah.
Waterfront Grill,
yeah,
TKD in the front.
I got you. Thank you.
A taffy, candy, and beef jerky building in one of the units. Yeah.
So speaking of that particular building, the signage over the last year or so has proliferated. Who would we go to in order to see what's going on there with the signage? And I think one of the businesses there has, I don't know if he's still doing it, but put a tarp over his truck.
I think that has largely ceased, the tarp on the truck.
Yeah.
We did have, it's a code enforcement issue, and which is Rob Schultz, city attorney. He's worked on that along with us as the leaseholder and the lease manager, and we've kind of had a two-prong approach with Mr. Amani trying to minimize the signage. He did have banners out, sandwich board issues, which city council and, you know, when we did the sign ordinance redo a while back, those got eliminated. So he's had some issues there, and we're working with him trying to get the signage back to a
dollar. So the latest innovation I noticed was because like many of us, I walked the Embarcadero almost daily. It was handbills stapled onto some of the columns. So would the city attorney be the, if a concerned citizen wanted to talk to somebody in the city attorney would be the person to go
and
to?
City attorney and us,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank
both.
You.
It's an ongoing issue. We're trying to get it resolved.
Thanks.
Next to the north, 67W and 67W and 68W. That's VLA and Held. As you recall, there between the old salt building and the aquarium were two small little one-story retail units, brick in the front and then a little rental in the back. One was a Great Britain shop, and they, Mary Yates had a jewelry shop in one of them for a while, and Larry Rogers, Dick Rogers' son, had a jewelry shop in another one for a while. And anyhow, Smith Held, Smith and Gordon Held have the northern one, and Inez Villet has the southern, and they, again, two fairly small sites. (11 and 12) on that map. Two fairly small sites. Challenge being parking with a lot of these when they increase usage, and especially what they had there was, you know, one retail shop and one little rental unit. As you've seen it now, it's a larger retail shop and then two or three, I think, rental units, hotel rooms, boutique hotel rooms on the ground floor and on the top floor. So an increase in intensity of usage, so that typically means more parking. To look at those sites individually, to try and do that as an individual little skinny site, it was very difficult for either of them to do it. So they teamed up as individual leaseholders and proposed a joint project, but separate ownership. With
at some point, somebody has to bring it back up to street level.
Yeah, there'll be obviously a transition grade there. And I don't, without going into the file or looking at the plans or the justification, I'm not sure why they did that. It probably had something to do with the hotel rooms being on the bottom floor and, you know, privacy issues. I'm not sure. But, yeah, when it goes, you know, Abba Imani on the salt building to the south there, he's already, you know, his architect obviously got those plans, and he's planning on tying together, and it won't be steps going up. You want to be a smooth transition. So somebody, I'm not sure if I think it's VLA on the south end. I'm not sure if they'll slope up a little bit, and then Abba will slope down, and they'll meet, or one of them slopes the whole thing. But they will work that out to make it,
okay,
know, ADA
at some point
accessible.
Somebody's going to have to do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and the same going in the other direction towards the aquarium. They'll have the same issue. Which brings me to, and any other questions on that one?
Yeah, I have a question. Is there a in the channel as far as how far go out, like say from your lease site coming out, is there a minimum width of the channel that you want to maintain?
There's nothing on paper
That
I'm aware of. The Corps of Engineers is consulted when these, and I think it's through Coastal Commission on one of our projects. Coastal said, go talk to Corps and get their okay, and then Coast Guard as well. They wanted Coast Guard to sign off on it for the navigation channel. So there's nothing on paper, but it's subject to comment of both those agencies. somewhere between probably 6 and 10 feet is a comfortable margin, because obviously you have a slip, you can potentially put a little longer boat in there, and if you butt the slip, you know, right up to that channel line, you're going to have the boat overhanging the channel. And there's dredging issues. You know, obviously we still want to keep our channel dredge, and the Corps of Engineers will come in and they're going to need to have a little bit of a setback and not, you know, number one, have the problem of running into docks and piers with their equipment, but also they don't want to undermine things when piles are put out there in the end and they start digging to depth. They don't want to have problems there. So yeah, there's, but no hard and fast, but you know, somewhere between 7 and 10 feet is fairly comfortable. Anything else? Okay, moving right along. Morro Bay Aquarium, 6970. Should be number 13 there, underneath the number 13 there. Morro Bay Aquarium is another old Pipkin lease, expires in 2018. It's had a lot of activity. You've had it back in, when did we do that? A while ago. Springtime, maybe? Can't remember. Had a hearing on that. Had quite a few people. I think that was probably the biggest Harbor Advisory Board meeting attendance ever. And then we had a city council meeting back on June 25th to consider whether to work with the existing owners of that lease site, the Tylers, on a new lease into the future or to send it out for RFPs. Council voted to send it out for request for proposals. After a pretty long meeting, again, it was pretty well attended. Folks on both sides of the table in terms of, you know, should you house animals that way or should you not, came out and spoke very eloquently on their feelings there. So council elected to send it out for request for proposals. We're hoping, knock on wood, to have that in front of city council August 13th, the next council meeting, a draft proposal package. We did the vacant lease sites here a couple of months ago, put them out, so we've got the boilerplate package together. It's just kind of fine-tuning it for the aquarium itself. The council did give some marching orders. They wanted to continue on with an aquarium-type use and make it educational and academic kind of oriented, but maintain the aquaria. So we'll see what's out there. There's a couple of groups interested in the site, so we'll see how that goes as it moves forward. Kind of tentatively, if council gives it the general okay nod, I suspect we'll probably have some more input from council on the 13th, fine-tune it, maybe bring it back to them in the second meeting in August with a final package, and assuming that's all good to go, sometime in September we're hoping to get that out on the street and get it soaking out for folks to come in and make their proposals, and then, you know, late this year, maybe early next, put together a evaluation team to look at things and start making recommendations. I'm pretty certain it's going to come back in front of the Harbor Advisory Board for your take on it before it goes back to council as well, so we'll be working forward on that one. Questions on that? Nope. Okay, moving right along. 8285, Roses Landing. Underneath number 19 there, 8285W, Rose's Landing. That was another major rebuild. Tentative okay to move forward on that. Submit it to the planning department as they start working through that. And I've been talking with him off and on here for the last couple of weeks, working on some draft lease terms and conditions. Hoping to have that in front of council in a closed session, either first meeting in August or maybe second, on some draft terms and conditions and see if we can keep moving his project forward. Any questions on that? I think it's about six or seven slips there. 8686W and 8787W. That's 801 Embarcadero LLC, the old fishbowl, and now off the hook on the 87W, formerly the cannery. So, yeah, what he's pointing to there. Two smaller sites, especially on the end there. Those folks are also up in, I believe, 2018, and had come up with a proposal. Council asked if was asked if they want an RFP or if they want to work with the existing leaseholders. They said work with the existing leaseholders. The leaseholder told the leaseholders give us a proposal. They joined forces. They decided to come up with a joint proposal. Vi-League and Burt Caldwell consisted of pretty much a teardown of both buildings and a rebuild of a joint retail and hotel use, along with some slips along the front. We put that in front of City Council at the June 11th meeting to see if they wanted to go forward with that proposal, but they elected not to. They wanted to see the lease sites remain separate. So those two leaseholders were sent back to the drawing board, so to speak, and to come up with separate proposals, which they are working on. We've met with both of them in the meantime and just kind of come up with some preliminary ideas. They've run some ideas in front of us, so they're going to be moving forward and submitting their proposals hopefully over the next couple of months. Questions on those?
I have a question. Just
sure.
The areas that we skipped, I guess there's no activity.
Yeah, there's like quite a bit of empty space in there that we didn't go over. There's
okay.
Those leases are kind of pat and not really just humming along.
Okay.
As normal. Any other questions on that one? Bill?
I think the only lease site that I'm curious about is the Inn at Morro Bay. I mean, do you control that lease site, which is the water part?
Yeah, there is a lease site in front of the Inn at Morro Bay. Used to have slips out there. They went away quite a while ago under the previous ownership of probably Mr. King. The bulkhead's got some major issues there. It's an old wooden pile, maybe some sheet pile in there. It's not in good shape, and they've had to pull the parking lot back and not allow any parking there. King, I think, went into bankruptcy here a while ago and ended up selling it or came out of receivership or however it worked, and it's Pacific West Properties, kind of a hotel chain of sorts that operates a number of facilities in the country, and they came in and bought it. They did some pretty substantial remodeling that they're still in the middle of, remodeling their rooms and putting in heating and AC units, and they're working, want to work through the land part. We contacted them probably last fall to see if they're interested in the water lease site, and they had actually, when they were looking at purchasing it, had called us and asked about the water lease and kind of were looking for details and what was there and what may be possible. So last contact with them, they are interested, but they want to get through all the land stuff first before they really start thinking about it. So we're hoping that once that kind of quiets down, they'll come back and get something going out there. Next on the list, 90W, that's Otter Rock. Number 23 on the map there, fairly preliminary, fairly new. They're proposing not really any kind of major lease negotiation or major change there. Does anybody know where the dumpster in there is? The dumpster. Their trash dumpster is inside their building. It used to be, that breezeway as you walked in was a breezeway, and that was the open air, and they've done a lot of modifications over the years, and now that's pretty much enclosed inside of there along the side. And the dumpster's tucked away right inside there where seating is, so they're looking to get it out of there. They're proposing to move it to the outside of the building along the front and put it in behind a nice gated planter area in the front of one of, I think, the southernmost window there. They're going to put it in down there. So that's just preliminary. They're kind of working on it, seeing if it's possible. So they're working through the whole planning process for that. 9395. That's number 25 there on the list, or on the map. That's Smith Held in the Harbor Center. Where Hofbräu is now on the ocean side, Poppy Retail Shop, Sun and Butter, because with Van Buren at Roca's at 96W, the next one to the, I think number, was it 26. Roca's there on the corner. I think that is the smallest lease site, along with Kayak Horizons. I think they're probably both competing for the small size. Very small, and it was very difficult for him to figure out how to put in slips in a gangway and get it all accessible, and with our slips right next to him and then Smith's slips right next to him, it just wasn't working. So He's given up on trying to put in the slips, and Smith will take that water over and put slips in there, Smith held, and then we're working with Mr. Van Beerden on completing out his project. As you know, he bought that lease a number of years ago, or maybe it came out on RFP. It was an RFP. He came up with that lease site. He was the winning proposer on the RFP, which included originally he was going to do a modest remodel on that and then come in 5 to 7 years later and tear it down and rebuild in whole. But once he got into the remodel started, like a lot of remodels, and you start pulling off drywall and really looking at things, started getting a little more substantial, but he needed to stay in business. So he did a pretty substantial upgrade, did everything short of tearing the place down, and put in sprinklers and upgraded the place. Got it back up and operating. Got 1 7-year extension on his lease. I think he's total of 10 years now. But his final project that we're negotiating with him now is finishing up the backside, the ocean side, which was basically storage and service space for the staff, kind of flipping it around and getting seating and finishing up the harbor walk on the backside down there. And then, like I said, Smith Hill will take over the water in front of the deck. So he'll have a little bit of a water lease site because he does have a deck that goes out over the water, and then Smith slips will be out front. So we're working with him trying to get that finalized here in the next couple months. Questions on that? And he'll also, he's proposed, we're working with him on, like I say, terms and conditions and what he's proposing. You've got the little skinny sidewalk between his site and the Anchor Park. That'll be widened out, and I think we'll be doing some park improvements in conjunction with that as well. Questions?
I have a question. As far as Van Beerden down at the Dutchman, is there any plans for that water lease site as far as slips?
Nope. He's got the wharf going out there. It used to have Bay Fresh, I think, fishery there, and then had a couple of other operators. Brett Cunningham was down there with Morro Bay Fish Company initially, and then he ended up down by us in the main fish dock, and then he gave up that one and got another operator, but he's really just buying fish for his restaurant for the most part right now. I think he maybe retails a little bit of it out, but he's still operating the hoist and operating the tanks there, and he's still got a fish receiving station, but it's mainly just for his own restaurant, for the Flying Dutchman, or Dutchman's Landing. They renamed it. But other than that, no major proposals going on there.
Just out of curiosity, when Mr. Van Beerden did the remodel, was the whale able to be saved, or does it still exist, or is it gone?
The whale was removed. As you know, it was the old Whale's Tail restaurant. The whale was removed. Last I heard, and this has been a few months, but it was spotted in San Luis several times, the fellow that designed it and built it ended up somehow getting a hold of it and was dragging it around San Luis on his trailer, and people would see it parked in various places in San Luis. I haven't heard any tales of the Whale Tail lately, but that's the last I heard.
I've seen it at McCarthy Steel on
recently?
South Street. Oh, for the last year.
Yeah,
two
maybe
years.
He's found a home for it.
Yeah.
So go to McCarthy's and visit the Whale's Tail. Moving a little further north, 102, 102W, and then 105.1, 105.2. That's Central Coast Seafoods, De Guermore. Under number 29 there, that would be 102, 102W, and then the next lease site, it doesn't have a number with a circle, the 105.1, 105.2. That's mainly the fuel dock. So that's Giovanni DeGuermore and his father, Mike DeGuermore. On the south side, obviously, it's Giovanni's restaurant. The squarish part of the lease site there on the south end of 102 is their water lease, and then it actually extends up and kind of cuts the corner off of, it's one of the oddball ones, cuts the corner on his building there, kind of where the takeout window is. The rest of the property there is privately owned. That's one of the few places on the waterfront that is fee-owned property. That was dry land before the U.S. military came in World War II and built this one. He wasn't selling a lot of fuel. And it's expensive to maintain all that infrastructure, so we're working with him trying to see if there's some alternatives to operating that into the future, so we'll see what goes on there. And then Central Coast SEVA, like I say, the main set of slips there, those just went in and up and operating, and hopefully those will be a good going concern there. Any questions? Bill?
Is the city still thinking about subsidizing that fuel dock? I know that you mentioned that before. I mean, have you got any direction from City Council?
Not yet. We haven't posted to the council. Currently, they get a $4,000 break on their rent. You know, it's based on the appraised value, 8% of the appraised value, pretty flat rate. And then I think we give them a $4,000 credit on that, and that was done probably in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s, when fishing was just way down, and he was not able to hardly make any money there. So that will be on the table, I'm sure. Any other questions? Okay, continuing north, 110 to 112W, Great American Fish Company. GAFCO, it is not on a land lease. It's all on a water lease. Is it there? ...110 to 112 there on the north side of the pier. Now the lease number is a little bigger and you can actually read them. The 110, 111, 112, the land leases, that's the parking lot, so he's really only on the water, built out largely over the water at the base of the pier there. He, as you know, probably about a decade ago now, when Darby Neal was running Verges, Troy League at Harbor Hut and George League at GAFCO, they had proposed a joint water redevelopment project where you saw Mr. Fowle earlier, and that was originally Darby's plan was redoing the whole landing there, and then Troy had some more slips in the middle there. He's pretty much open water now. He's not ready to go forward with slips, but still part of the plan. And then George at GAFCO connected through the bait dock, and they stitched all those together. And then when Darby and his mother had the falling out and they parted ways, that kind of threw all that into a bit of a tailspin, and Verges started working out of GAFCO, and now they're kind of regrouping. Bob Fowler's come along, bought the lease there at Verges, got that up and running, took the ball, kept running with it. He's gotten through Coastal. He's getting pretty close to getting his final permits. Harbor Cut's a little further behind, and then George at GAFCO, a little further ahead, got the permits to get those docks put in, finally got that done, changed the gangway from pretty steep coming off of the restaurant to come off the pier. And then he's pretty much finalizing that, and he's done some building improvements as well that we're kind of finishing up, making sure he's met his requirements under his lease. He got a 10-year extension on his lease for that. He's got an option for another 10 years if he puts in on the between the pier and his building, a little outdoor patio area, and I think a little fish market as well. But that's an optional for another 10 years that so far he's not ready to work on, so we'll see where that goes into the future. Any questions on that, GAFCO? New docks are a good improvement. The old ones were getting in pretty bad shape. So now Verge is operating out of there. It works a heck of a lot better. Then moving north, 122, 123 in the W's with 122, 123. That's Troy League. He proposed a modest project to get a couple more years, I think another 10-year addition. That, as you know, we're in Measure D down there, which I'll get to a little further in future agenda, but you know, Measure D is commercial and recreational fishing serving, and GAFCO and Harbor Hut, and Tognazzini's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 were all grandfathered in under Measure D as existing uses, but can never be expanded or replaced. But Troy League proposed to do some improvements to make his site a little more efficient. It wasn't proposing any increase in seating or capacity, but it was proposing to put a little office upstairs with the stairway going up, and some changes to the kitchen to try and make it a little more workable, give his employees a break room and maybe an extra restroom. Got through City Council approvals, through concept approval, went to Coastal Commission, and it's hung up in Coastal right now. I believe it's on the August or September Coastal Commission hearing meeting, which we'll probably be attending. For a multitude of reasons, the city's got several other projects, including, I think, the wastewater treatment plant, which, and a couple others. So I think we're definitely going to be there and seeing what can happen with that project, because so far indications from Coastal were that they weren't happy with it. So we'll see what the issues are there. We haven't seen the staff report yet, so not sure where that one's going to go. Questions on that? Nope. Morro Bay Landing, I think we can go past that. I'm glad Bob brought up the bait dock. As you know, it was an important issue for us and an important issue for the board. We had the former owner of Patriot Sport Fishing, he's sold out now, Steve Moore, sold, I think, Patriot Sport Fishing outright and the bait boat as well, and now Santa Monica Seafood. That's the fish dock. I'm in front of Tognazzini's, run a long time ago by Cordero Winston Fish Company. When I first started, then Central Coast had the south or the north end of it for a little while, the Garamore down at our neck of the woods, and then the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization ran it for a few years, and then Brett Cunningham, who used to have a seat up here, started a little fish operation and grew it and put it a five-year lease proposal together and got city council approval, got that dock up and running and really grew it and made it a real going concern enough so that it got interest of Central Coast Seafood, who's a brother, half-brother to Gio de Garamore, another Gio de Garamore over in Atascadero, Central Coast Seafood proper. They're now owned by Santa Monica Seafood, so they're operating that dock and they're doing pretty well. They've got a squid pump there. We've had squid in the last few weeks. I think it slowed down a little bit, but I think both at Central Coast, Giovanni's to the south and to the Morro Bay Fuel Dock, we had a good amount of squid coming in and black cod, and things are doing good. So we're in negotiations with him. His lease expires at the end of 2014. When he purchased it, he knew that there wasn't much time left on it, but that we were very interested in keeping that dock going. So I'll be getting with Mr. DeGaramore over the next few months here, trying to hammer out some terms and conditions on that lease, because it was a pretty simple lease that we entered into. Didn't follow real the normal format. It was just kind of a temporary, see if you can make the business work. And Brett Cunningham, to his credit, made it work very well. So that's going very well. And, you know, fishing's turned around. Regulations have kind of bottomed out, and things have changed, and we're doing pretty good, I think. The landings and the prices have gone up. You know, salmon was typically a $3 to $4 a pound of the fisherman catch for decades, and this last year, you know, we had those closures for a couple of years, the salmon disasters for a couple of years. Between marketing, creative marketing, and demand being just as high as ever, it opened up at about $9 a pound this year and stayed in the $7 to $9 range, which is, you know, every fish over the rail is a $100 bill for the most part. So those guys did pretty darn well. It was a good season. Fair number of fish out here, not a lot, but did okay. But up north, as usual, a lot more fish. So most of our guys are out of town fishing up north right now. So fishing's doing pretty good. And then the vacant lease sites, we put them out for requests for proposals. One was 49W, which is immediately south of Associated Pacific Constructors. There's a little 50-foot wide lease site there that's near and dear to Gene's heart. We also put out the vacant lease sites between the South T Pier and the slips immediately to the south. There's 136, 7, 8, I think, right through there. Traditionally empty lease sites. I was told there used to be some sort of a landing there when I went in and did a walkthrough with one of the proponents for a project there. Said there used to be a little landing there, which was interesting to hear.
Is that 107 and 108?
I'll have to look. Yeah, 107, 108. I knew there was a 7 and 8 in there. I still don't have all these numbers memorized. Too many numbers. Yeah, 107, 108. 106 is kind of halfway empty, halfway filled with our slips, so that one wouldn't work too well. But yeah, 107, 108. So we had a walkthrough. Mandatory walkthrough on all the lease sites here, and we had one proponent show up, which was Verge's Sport Fishing. They're working on proposing to put in another landing of their own there. So I think our deadline is, I won't swear too well, I say August 15th for submitting a proposal, so hopefully we'll be seeing that pretty soon. And then the other empty lease site was the site between Krill's Saltwater Taffy right next to our office and the restrooms there, and I think the restrooms are on the lease site. There's a couple of sites right there. Central Coast Seafood expressed some interest, although they did not attend the walkthrough. I think they're still going to plan on submitting something, but so far I haven't seen anything from them. They were looking at maybe doing putting in some offices there and maybe a little bit of processing right there, so we'll see what comes of that. But so far, nothing there. So one proposal for the three sites. Other questions? Yeah, there's a lot of plates spinning.
On the north side of the Teep here, is any of that, I mean, before you get to the intake building, is that site in, is it coming up, or is there any activity there?
No, we've been trying to evict the Coast Guard, but they don't want to go.
No, no, not the Coast Guard on the other side.
No, it's a lease site. So we're sitting on a lease site. Coast Guard's on a lease site. They obviously are on the lease site and leasing it. And then you got M&M Refrigeration at the right next to the intake building. I should have put them on there. He's still in the middle of a dock and gangway rebuild there. For a number of years, it was pretty much a ladder to get down to the docks. He's put in a little landing and a gangway and negotiated a new lease with Rick Alger several years ago for that. So that's moving forward. And he's also got Neil Maloney, Morbay Oyster Company, and there's a sublease. He's got, I can never remember the term, have out there about 5 lease formats. Our oldest leases are the Pipkin leases and the county leases. The Pipkin leases were so named because they were the result of a class action lawsuit back in the 50s after the U.S. government moved out, turned it all over to the county. Upland property owners that lived up on the hill at the top of the bluff that used to have a landing and used to have use of the water, all of a sudden now there's a bunch of land that we don't own anymore in front of us and we don't have use of the water. So anyway, a bunch of lawsuits ensued. They all got congregated into one class action lawsuit that was known as the Pipkin suit. And it settled out, and I'm assuming those property owners were given first right of refusal for those leases and certain other terms. So those are all the quote-unquote Pipkin leases entered into in 1968 was when that all finished up. And then the county leases are our other older leases. There are, let's say, one, maybe two, Coakley at the Morbay Marina, the old fuel dock. He's got a county lease, and there's one other, but it's escaping me right now. And those were entered into in, those were 50-year leases, and they are up in 14, so those are coming up, are coming up right now. So those are the oldest leases on very favorable terms in this day and age for the leaseholder. There's no percent of gross sales. The leaseholder has got the option at the end whether he wants to, you know, take his property or not, as opposed to our new leases. If the leaseholder is either in default or walks away, we can tell him, take your off of our lease site. And, you know, if he's got a slip or a building that's ready to fall down, it's at his cost and expense to remove it, where the old county leases, it's his option. He can walk away from it. So stuff like that in the older leases. And then there's some leases that were entered into in probably 70s and 80s. Smith Held bought one of those at Harbor Center. He's on a new lease format now. He had an older lease that was maybe early 80s. So there's that 70s to 80s genre of leases. There's still a few floating around, but not too many. And then there's a good number that were done in the 90s. That's probably the majority of our leases that are pretty modern format. Most of the terms and conditions are how we want them. Still got a few little weird anomalies, but nothing alarming. And then the most modern leases are the ones that we're doing now, the format that we have now. Rick Algert and Rob Schultz back in probably the early 2000s. I think we hired some leasing attorneys, some commercial attorneys, and looked around to other harbors and you know, kind of took a good hard look at our leases and rewrote them into our modern format. So now they're those are the ones we're all entering into now.
Any other questions for Eric?
Kind of more of a comment, just recapping here. I'm looking at 4 different lease sites that are going to have proposed new slips coming in. One of them a side tie with a new building there, Held and Beaulieu. And then new slips at Rose's Landing, the Harbor Center for that Held has also, and then Mr. Fowler, who presented, yeah.
27.
And that's outside the new ones that DeGaramore put in. So this is really a big improvement because hopefully, you know, Fowler's second phase, which goes in front of or goes up to between Harbor Hut and Great American Fish Company, happens also, because those are probably the worst docks on the bay. So this is really good to see these improvements.
Yeah, it is. I mean, some are being rebuilt and some are new, and you know that obviously you look up and down the waterfront and you don't see a lot of vacant slips. The demand is definitely there. We're a pretty little closed system here with not a lot of facilities, so yeah, these will be good. And it'll increase revenues. Yeah, that's good. The other bottom line for it.
Any other questions, comments regarding this topic? All right, seeing none, we'll close that topic. Did you have anything, Gene?
Yeah, you might make a note that I finally showed up.
Actually, you got just ahead of me. I was just going to say, please let the record show that Board Member Doty showed up during agenda item B2, please.
I apologize for being late.
It's good
just
to see you.
Just be glad that we don't have the traffic here we do down south.
Isn't amen to that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I may throw the mayor under the bus, I don't know if he wants to add anything about all the lease stuff or not, since we've got him here. Okay.
Good. All right. Thank you for that. We will move on to unfinished business, item C. We have under unfinished business C1, which I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, we will not have a report, but it is on the agenda. So are there any questions or comments regarding an update from the Boatyard Haulout Ad Hoc Committee? New business. Under new business, we have D1, the State Park Marina Proposed Major Maintenance Plan for 2013-14. I don't see anyone here from Associated Pacific. So, Eric, do you have some comments with regard to this item?
Yeah, thank you. That would be me. I elected to just go ahead and get it on here because if Paul Gillen, unfortunately, he's a busy man. He's got a lot of projects. He's got a landing down there in Los Angeles where a lot of his equipment and a lot of his things are going on. So we had him on the agenda a couple of meetings ago. He couldn't make it. Was going to put him on, I think, in June. He couldn't make it. I asked him if he could make August. He initially thought he could, and I got the staff report, you know, written out that he'll present an oral presentation, and he couldn't make it. So if I wait any longer, we're going to be into next year's major maintenance plan, so I think I'll just go ahead and present it. So the background, as you know, we've entered into an operating agreement in about 2001 with the state park system to operate that state park marina with the overall goal of rebuilding the marina and getting some dredging done. As you know, last year we removed about 33,000 cubic yards as kind of phase one of that project, continuing on seeking funding for further dredging back there, and then hopefully getting with state parks in the near future to kind of see what their vision on that is and how much further they want to go with it. So we manage state parks. State parks kind of manages us because we've got the operating agreement, but now we're, instead of state parks being the landlord that Associated Pacific directly works with, it's us, the city of Morro Bay. So part of that concessionary agreement with the state stipulates that 15% of their projected revenues go back into maintenance of that marina. If you've been back there recently, over the last probably 5-7 years, if you call it recently, they've done a fair amount of upgrades in there and rebuilding and pull out sections of dock and replace sections of dock, and they're slowly but surely getting there. Their major maintenance plan for 2013-14, they proposed that in the springtime, which Paul did. He brought this to me in February. He shows his revenues that he's projected and then carry over from some of the funding they didn't spend from previous years. So basically he had the two-year major maintenance account of $108,000, went in and proposed removing Dock 4 and Dock 7 in their entirety, which he did basically in February and March. I think he built, or February through April, he came and largely built those fingers, I think, on site at Associated Pacific, and then would bring them down by water and throw them in and take the old stuff out and bolt the new stuff in, kind of piecemeal, bit by bit. Dock 4 is as you go into the marina, you've got the slips on the side that face right into the land there, and then Dock 3 is the first one that you'd run into that run perpendicular. So Dock 4 is the second one in from the entrance to the marina, and then Dock 7 is the furthest one in the very back. So they went through in February and April and got all those fingers replaced and new services put in. So went down there earlier in the week, and things are looking good, and they're going to propose, see what they propose for next year, but they're going to get to the point where it's going to be largely rebuilt and then probably start working on some of the infrastructure on land to get that up to speed.
Bill?
Where do we stand, you know, because on actually there's been some comment and some talk. We had some gentlemen here who have slips down there in the marina, and they really... You okay? excuse me, but that the city would be a better landlord than Associated Pacific. What is the terms of the lease right now? And it seems to me, and I don't know this gentleman, but we've been trying to get him here for probably what the last five meetings, and maybe this isn't real important to him. And it seems to me that maybe there would be a better landlord. Maybe it would be the city. So I'm just throwing that out.
The city council has been posed the same question. I believe it's on their tentative agenda as well. I don't know the exact date. It's probably out into September sometime, maybe October. Just kind of depends on when it gets agendized, depending on the schedule and what it allows. Kind of looking at, is that a possibility, and should the city look and seek to take that over? I think we had a future agenda here on the Harbor Advisory Board as well back early in the spring to bring that back, which hopefully I will in the next few meetings here. I'd like to get that analyzed and bring it back, get Harbor Advisory Board's take on it before we bring it to the council. So, yeah, it's in the hopper. As far as the actual analysis, I haven't done the full analysis yet. I don't have the bottom line.
Dana said a little minute ago, we're adding a lot of great slips, but, you know, we have 118 slips back there. And, you know, again, it is a delicate situation.
By any other party? In other words, how are they coming up with that number? Because they're paying that money to themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, well, like a lease site, you know, when lease site A proposes a project and they negotiate a lease and they say they're going to spend $100,000 and that's what they commit to, the lease will say, thou shalt spend, you know, minimum of $100,000 to do this. We go back and confirm to make sure that they actually did, and by showing receipts, and we will do the same with Associated Pacific. This is the first year I've dealt with this one. We've had to do this, so yeah, I will be confirming that. And as you can see, there was a carryover in the accounting up above, so obviously in a year or two prior they didn't spend what they proposed, or they made more revenue than they thought, so that 15% may have inflated from what they initially thought it was, and that carries over into maintenance.
Great. So there's a mechanism there for to check on that to make sure that was the actual cost.
Yes.
Excellent. That's good to hear. We'll go for more questions. We'll go down to this end with Gene.
Now, just a comment back on your comment, Jeff. At their estimate of $45 a square foot, I think it is probably reasonable. It's in the ballpark, certainly.
Good. Any other questions from this end, Lynn? Jim.
The $74,000 cost carry forward is a debt, right? To come out of the money allocated for the years 2015-16. In other words, they spent more than what they had to this year, so they're carrying some of that debt forward.
Yeah, depending on what the actual cost was, once they get to those numbers, that number may be, they may have spent less. They may have spent more.
Do you happen to know if the replacing the docks themselves also involved replacement of the electrical system and the water system on those docks?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
That's it. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or comments regarding item D1? Okay. That completes that item. We are now on to item E on the agenda, which is the declaration of future agenda items. So we mentioned that under unfinished business, we will have an update from the Boatyard Haul-Out Ad Hoc Committee. Any other items for future agenda? Lynn?
We've had the empty chair from the fishermen for quite a while, and I was wondering if there would be any way we could propose to the fishermen's organization that they have a variety of people who could rotate when they are in town and able to make the meeting.
We have been talking to the president and some other members of the CFO
trying to find one person, and we may have somebody identified that maybe is stepping forward, so we're working on that first, hoping that we can get an actual regular person to fill it. So that's definitely in the workload right now that we're trying to get accomplished. But as far as a multi-person seat, you know, I've read the one of the bylaws. I don't have them right in front of me, but I think it probably be more of a city attorney question whether or not you're going to actually do that. You know, the bylaws basically say that the city council shall attempt to fill the seats with these designations, but as you know, the commercial fisherman seat's an important one, and we didn't want to just fill it with anybody. We want a definite representative from the industry, so whether they could come up with two or three people is another
matter. We're edging into discussing the item. So we're on declaration of future agenda items, so we need to determine if we want to place that as a future agenda item as opposed to actually discuss or debate that issue tonight. I'll throw that out. So, Lynn, you still have the option of putting that on as a future agenda item if you get some support of your other board members. And it may become a moot point because we may have somebody in the works, but it's at your pleasure to put that on as a future agenda item if you'd like to.
I would like to discuss that at least until we find out that we do have somebody else. It may be another avenue that we could proceed and get the commercial fisherman opinion on this board.
All right, so Lynn has proposed some form of variation for the fisherman's seat here on the board. Does she have support for putting that item on the agenda?
I'll second.
And one more? Yep, okay. Yeah, so there's three board members. So we'll put that on as a future agenda item, and we may not have to if we get that seat filled. Any other future agenda items? Eric?
Just from the minutes, you wanted just an informational Clean Marina certification and how it worked. I guess sort of an overview, like the lease is just what it is. That's floating out there. At least it's tentatively on September. And actually did have on her September discussion alternative MBCFO members perhaps seat vacancy. So that was from last time as well. So we already have those two on. Another item that may come up in September, from a staff standpoint, the City Council, again, on their tentative future agenda, has a review of Measure D, and looking at that and seeing what it may hold for the future, whether we want to propose some changes to it or see if there's any kind of effort or will or want to propose some changes to it. But before that, obviously, Harbor Advisory Board would be a good place to vet that out first. So I'd like to bring that to September.
That would be a big item.
That could be pretty meaty. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So you certainly have support for that.
So I'll work with the mayor and the city manager, Andrew, and just kind of see if it does look like we're going to be going that direction with Measure D with council. That way we can get it to the HAB first. If not, if it looks like that's pushing out further, then maybe we don't have to push it so far, so quickly here. Another item that I've got on my pending list and another thing on my to-do list is a rules change for that two-boat owner issue and changing the rules and regulations. So that will be sneaking its way in here, hopefully sometime in the next couple months.
Is that to propose the change or to make the change, or has the change already been made?
No, change hasn't been made. That would be you all voted to approve that in concept and for staff to potentially look at it. So it would be me bringing back those actual, draft rule change to you and kind of get your take on it and then send that on to the city council for their ultimate approval.
Gene?
And at some point, I think it would be kind of nice for the Harbor Advisory Board to have probably a fisherman explain to us what long lining, what halibut fishing consists of, what albacore consists of, not necessarily just for us, but for the rest of the public at some point.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think we necessarily need to put that as an agenda item, but certainly a presentation would be educational and fun. Any other items for future agenda? All right, seeing none, we'll close that part of the agenda. We'll move on to section F, adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
All right. Moved by Bill, seconded by Dana. Everyone have a wonderful summer. Enjoy the rest of it, and we'll see you next month. Thank you.
Thank you.